The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them a parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go back to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went back to his father. And while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, bring the best one, and put it on. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come back, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered back to his father, "Listen, for all these years I've been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now has been found." God's word is life.
This is our third week of sticking with this story that we hear Jesus telling in Luke's gospel. One week at a time, we've been coming alongside the main players. First the younger son, last week the father, and today the older son. And we've been coming alongside with a view to what is it that each from their own very different circumstance has to show us about the practice of beginning again. This is the one I'm looking forward to, I've heard a few people say, anticipating today's connection with the older son. Me too, by the way. He's the one who doesn't come off so well, kind of mean-spirited, ungrateful, resentful. A guy who, it seems, should have been able to find it in himself to be happy but couldn't. He has some standards, after all. I'm guessing that by the end of the story, many of us feel for him more than for the younger son. The father's already got his back. But what about the older son? What about his heart and where he's come from? Which may in fact lead to say, what about me and where I'm coming from? Those of us who are inclined to identify with him, share his view, resonate with his response. Jesus, the storyteller, has a way of holding up a mirror that confronts us with ourselves, which isn't always the picture we want or expect or hope to see. So why might we look forward to this one? Maybe because we are being given to trust that God's word is life. Maybe because Jesus, through his storytelling, has a way of opening a way for the Spirit to meet us and move in us. Move us more and more into the realm of grace, should we have ears to hear, receptive hearts. The kind of openness I think I'm hearing reflected in that eagerness, that the sentiment, this is the one I'm looking forward to. Like we're daring to expect something heartening this morning, instead of ducking for cover. So it seems to me we're ready, not just for the story, but for the Spirit to be at work among us this morning. What a place to be. I can't tell you how long it's been. And he has the nerve to walk back onto the property. Didn't call, didn't ask, didn't damn well know his time around here was over a long time. Nothing's changed in that kid, not a thing. He is as slippery as the day he was born. Can't believe we come from the same mother. But if you want to know what's really got me vibrating with anger, it's my father. That kid shows up, and what does my father do? He throws the biggest party we've ever had on this farm. I don't get it. I just don't get it. He basically robs my father and blows every bit of it, living the high life, and my father says, let's celebrate. And then if you can believe it, my father asks me to come and be part of it. I tell you, I don't get it. I don't get him. What was he thinking? That's what I want to ask. Tell me, what really are you thinking? But in the moment, I didn't ask. Instead, here's what I told him. This is me speaking to my father. It just came pouring out. Father, I said, you know how I have slaved for you all these years. I never once disobeyed your orders. You never gave me so much as a goat to celebrate with my friends. He said something back. Something about my brother being alive, I don't remember, I didn't care. What could he say that I'd want to hear? I just left. God is far away from the noise of that. Looks like the end, doesn't it? Already it was over between the brothers. In fact, the return of the younger only serves to drive a bigger wedge in the rupture that was there. And yet from the father's perspective, it doesn't have to be over. From the father's perspective, this crisis bears the potential of a new beginning. If we listen closely to his pleading, he imagines more is possible, more between the brothers, more between him and his sons. How can the older son, how can any one of us hear the Father's pleading for what it really is? He's not asking the older brother to come and celebrate bad behavior. The party isn't about what he did with his father's property. The party is about, my God, he's alive. And it's not as though what the father is asking is small potatoes. He's asking something big. He's asking that the anger and the resentment and the judgment, all those energies that drive us apart from each other, that they not be allowed to overshadow the wonder of this moment. That this son of mine, brother of yours, who might well have been dead, came walking back unto this farmland. How can we not celebrate? Of course there is much to work out. But at the very moment, what matters is he lives. Of course, it's too much to ask in this moment. For that's not where the older son is. A longing heart that has been hollowed out by grief is far more easily moved to enter the celebration than one that is filled and overflowing with resentment. But that doesn't stop the father from asking. In fact, it is his asking that opens up the possibility for his son to make the move he wouldn't dream of making. It is his asking that provokes those painfully telling words. You know how I have slaved for you all these years, never once disobeyed your orders. You never gave me a party. You can hear, can't you, this revelation of what his relationship feels like, what his life feels like, grinding, enslavement, unappreciated, uncelebrated. I wonder if he knew that before those words came tumbling out. Or has he not stopped long enough to listen with how it is for his own soul? Maybe never thought to ask. Or to imagine it could be different, as though his lot was just a given with no room to move. Whether or not he was in touch with any of this before these words were spoken out loud, it seems this is the first he's been able to say it to his father. Maybe it's been boiling away in him for months, and this is the first he's prepared to lay it down and leave it there at his father's feet. There's something about this outburst that marks a turn, or at least carries that potential. The way it reveals and names where he's been. The way it allows for his own honest acknowledgement to himself, to his father, of the state of his heart, his take on his life. To begin again involves coming home to the truth within us. Even and especially if that is to discover the kinds of attitudes or energies or perceptions we dearly hope not to find there. A few seasons ago, some of you may remember we sang this refrain as part of our prayer of confession. You desire truth in our inward being. You desire truth in our inward being. You desire truth. You desire truth.
You.
There are some glimpses here, aren't there? As we come alongside the other son in this practice of beginning. Not the least of which are how it involves coming home to ourselves, allowing ourselves to honestly see where we are, to see what is there. Not to bury what we don't like or pretend it away, but to let it inform us. Not to sink further into the mire of our regret or hurt or whatever it may be, but the possibility of laying it out at the feet of the one who meets us wherever we are, with a love that only desires our healing, our well-being, our connection, our honest connection. And how it is that there is no leaving behind the things that destroy us if we don't first lay them down. Lingering with the older son shows us too that where there is separation, there is pain. And where there is pain, there is a story. Part of what enables our beginning again is being in touch with the story, noticing how we tell it, noticing what we hear as we pay attention to our language, what it tells us about where we've been, what it tells us about what needs healing. To begin again is to hear this invitation to step into the wide horizon of grace, where the point, the goal of our lives and anyone else's is not about being perfect, but about finding ourselves perfectly loved. Maybe that's what we are being given to hear in the Father's response to his son. Those words he couldn't take in at the time in the way they were intended. All that I have is yours. You are always with me. All that I have is yours. All my love. Can you hear it?